Hey guys, just a quick note before we begin that the show may contain spoilers and adult language, but that's just because we know how to have a good time. Stick around, you'll be glad you did.
You are here for me to enlighten you.
You ever act like this again, you're barred for life.
It's just vile and base.
It's kind of embarrassing.
If you know your lines, then you can forget them.
Oh, I get it. It's very clever.
Hello, peoples, and welcome to Esoterica Cinema, the program where we take films from the cinematic multiverse and discuss the hell out of them. My name is Ryan Siebold, coming at you with a short form 5-minute review I always like to call I Got Five on It. We did these for our audio show for years. I swore I was never going to do that, but here we are. And now we're bringing them back to video. As you can see, I'm here without my co-host Jason Peters today, and that means there's nobody to tell me I can't get weird. How weird, you ask? Well, Hundreds of Beavers weird. That's right. Today we're talking about the 2022 cult favorite, Hundreds of Beavers. And no, this is not a 1970s adult film starring Dirk Diggler.
You know what? I'm the biggest star here, man. That's the way it is.
This film takes place in frontier-era North America, and it's about a drunken Applejack liquor salesman who loses it all and must reinvent himself, becoming North America's greatest fur trapper by defeating hundreds and hundreds of beavers. I should also mention right up top, this is mostly a silent film, but more in a Wile E. Coyote sense. Once the opening song fired up, I was having so much fun I barely noticed. The film was made on a budget of $150,000, is directed and edited by Mike Cheslick, and stars Ryland Brixen Cole Twos as our main character, Olivia Graves, Wes Tank, and Doug Mancheski. Now, high level, I absolutely adored this film. I went into this mostly blind based on a recommendation by my co-host Jason Peters, who sent me the trailer. I'd say this makes for the best viewing experience, so I'm going to go ahead and keep this review mostly spoiler-free. So after seeing the trailer, you'd be forgiven if you assume, like I did, that this movie would be a one-trick pony and get stale by the second act. This is absolutely false, and I was consistently impressed by how the film continued to find new, exciting, and hilarious ways to keep me engaged and care about these characters. The world building is fantastic, even using a video game style map to let the audience know where all these things are happening in relation to each other and how one trap can impact the next in a very Rube Goldberg kind of way. It just keeps upping the ante till the very end and is filled with amazing running gags, callbacks, and something that I always appreciate, which is commitment to the bit. But this film is also very earnest and has a ton of heart. The film is grounded in a budding romance between our main character, Jean Kayak, and Olivia Graves as the daughter of the trade merchant who is more or less the film's MacGuffin. Jean Kayak is first struggling to survive the wilderness, but as we turn into Act 2, he's leveling up nicely, gaining most skills and supplies, and sets his sights on Graves' character's hand in marriage. I found myself invested way more in all these characters than I ever thought I would be, considering most of them are wearing loose-fitting animal costumes. Yes, it is absolute silliness throughout, but the absolute best kind of absolute silliness. It's obviously inspired by things like Chuck Jones' Looney Tunes humor, Buster Keaton, and by the filmmaker's own admission, Guy Madden films like My Winnipeg, which I haven't seen, but I'm going to get to shortly. Also, I touched on this before, but a lot of video game influences here. As characters level up, gain weapons and supplies for achieving certain goals, think Legend of Zelda meets Oregon Trail. For some real quick backstory, the filmmakers Mike Cheslick and Ryland grew up together in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, way back in high school. Cheslick went to NYU and then worked as an animator for The Get Down by Baz Luhrmann, as well as Fox Sports, which helped prepare him for this movie as he handled all the visual effects and animation work himself in Adobe After Effects. They got their start in 2018 with their previous film, Lake Michigan Monster, which is in a similar style as this, and I cannot wait to get to ASAP. It looks fantastic. They shot this on a Panasonic GH5 camera, which is a tiny little mirrorless camera you can get for about $1,500 to $1,600. So don't feel limited by your tech, kids. Just go film something. They shot this in upstate Wisconsin over 4 years from 2019 to 2022. Director Cheslick said it was a weird coincidence that they were able to keep production going during COVID when all other productions were shut down, as there were only a few of them on set at any given time. In fact, sometimes it was just Mike and Ryland. They were miles away from society, and most of the extras are even masked up in mascot-style costumes. So safety first, kids. They shot mostly on location in harsh winter conditions with near to below zero temperatures. So there was very little to no improvising. The film was storyboarded and in some cases animated ahead of time. So the scenes could be shot very precisely, which gave director Cheslick a very specific roadmap, eliminated wasted takes, and earned the trust of his small but loyal crew. This film was crowdsourced. So basically, they would pick a few scenes, go shoot them, then head back to Milwaukee to raise more money while they prep for the next scenes, as well as Mike editing what they had just shot and popping that in the timeline. As the festival started to pile up based on word of mouth, they incorporated antics by having the Beaver character show up at the screenings and Ryland showing up in his trapper costume and them fighting each other. His word of advice was always put your main character in a big hat so they could wear it at festivals to get attention. And since the film is mostly silent and also incorporates mascots and cosplay, for lack of a better term, they found this movie doing very well overseas and internationally. No translation necessary. When seeing such a unique film like this, I think it's very tempting to start comparing it to other things to try and describe it to people. I remember wrestling with this after seeing Kung Fu Hustle for the first time, which also shares elements from this film. It's like Bugs Bunny, Abbott and Costello, etc., etc. And you're not wrong per se, but though it has similar ingredients, the ultimate finished product ends up being something like I've never seen Beaver. I mean, before. I can go on and on about facts and notes, but the only thing I really want to leave you with here is that this movie is so much fun. I had a stupid, childlike, dopey grin ear to ear the entire time. My three adjectives to describe this film are simple. And that it was simple in its premise and concept. So simple, in fact, that it left me wondering why nobody had really made something like this before. Robust? Because though it was simple in concept, it was handled with so much love and care by the filmmakers that it never felt cheap or hollow. And original, as it built on old creative foundations to somehow create something so refreshing and new. I'm giving this one 4.5 stars. And it'll definitely go down as one of my favorite movies I'll see this year. Well, that's it for me. Catch us soon on another episode of Esoterica Cinema!